Welcome to the Pascal Way Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Now, let's join the new series, Freedom from Demons. Today's message is The Origins of Demons.
Freedom from Demons. And it's quite interesting because on the 27th of April, 1994, those of you who know your history, South Africa held its first democratic elections in this country. The tides turned. That's why we commemorated that day as the day of freedom. When, for the first time after almost 300 years of segregation, colonialism, racism, all kinds of things that we had on this land, on that day, people were given the right to vote and to choose their next leader. And as you know, former president, of Blessed Memory President Nelson Mandela was elected following that election. And a new South Africa was born. And we commemorated it with a Freedom Day. Hallelujah. That freedom has brought what you see today. That day, the 27th of April, 1994, has brought what you and I are enjoying today. Praise God. It hasn't come easy. We've had our challenges along the way, but definitely it's better. Economically speaking, we're not doing so well, but we'll get there by God's grace. Hallelujah. I believe South Africa will definitely become that rainbow nation that we all dream and believe it can become. God is going to use all the circumstances, everything that is happening in our country, to create that rainbow nation that He is talking about. Praise the Lord. But the type of freedom that I want to talk about this month is a little bit different from the one we've acquired in 1994. This one was acquired for us. It's a continuation of what I started in April, just emphasizing something very important that I believe this ministry has to come to the realization. Hallelujah. That Jesus purchased our freedom through His blood. And part and parcel of that freedom includes freedom from demons. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, the Bible here says, "For it is for freedom that Christ has set you free." It is for freedom, not bondage. For freedom. And let me say also, not fear. Because one of the things that blocks freedom is fear. I mean, imagine somebody, they open the prison doors and they say, "You are free to go." But he's so afraid that what will happen if I actually walk out of here now? And he stays inside. So the Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. And in the book of John 8 verse 36, the Bible says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Hallelujah. Now, there's a level of freedom we got in 1994, but it hasn't been freedom indeed, to be honest. We've had our restrictions from that freedom. But the Bible says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Hallelujah. Reminds me of the prayer of Jabez, "Lord, bless me indeed." In other words, when you become free indeed, you don't have to say it. People will see you are truly free. Hallelujah. The freedom Jesus came to give us includes freedom from sin. Hallelujah. Freedom from sickness. Freedom from diseases. By the way, sickness and disease is not the same thing. Freedom from poverty, freedom from lack. Lack and poverty are also not the same thing. Freedom from misfortune, freedom from evil, just evil. You know, evil being in and present of your life, freedom from that. And of course, freedom from evil spirits and demons. Hallelujah. So I want to concentrate, or God wants to concentrate the teaching of this month on that particular last freedom. Freedom from evil spirits and demons. Hallelujah. So I'm going to train and teach and preach. I will do all kinds of things this month. But by the time we are done, somebody, under the sound of my voice, will be freed from demons in the name of Jesus. And I pray that it shouldn't be me setting you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Hallelujah. Please expect freedom this month. Expect freedom from demons. Freedom from what? Demons. That's the main focus this month. Freedom from demons. A subject many believers are totally clueless about. I want us to tackle this subject, learn all we can learn, and take advantage of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, so that we stop being tormented and harassed by things we are supposed to overcome and destroy it. Hallelujah. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Let me start by telling you something this morning. We are not the only beings on earth. I like to start there. We are not alone on this earth. And it is important that you realize that. It is important that we realize that. And it is important that we believe that. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, the opening scripture itself makes reference to two different worlds. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. These are two different places with two different realities, and equally so, two different types of beings that are supposed to operate in those places. The heavens and the earth. The earth is the visible realm, and the heavens, the invisible realm. So already from the opening of the Bible, you are introduced to two worlds, meaning different beings around. Then when you come in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 19, you learn something there. The Bible says that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven. So some knees must bow in heaven, and of those on earth. So some knees must bow on earth, and of those under the earth. So you now see, you are now introduced in Genesis 1:1, you are introduced to heaven and the earth. In Philippians 2:9, you are introduced to earth and under the earth. There's another world under your feet. If there was nobody under the earth, God was not going to say that people's knee, for you to have knees, brother, it means you are somebody. At least, or even an animal. You have to be something to have knees that you should bow. And we are now seeing here that under the earth, there are people. There are beings. Are you with me? Then if we push it even further, we go to Revelation chapter 5 verse 13, you find something even more interesting. The Bible says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them. So you see, you are now introduced to the fourth world. You see, I started with you, heaven, earth. Then heaven, earth, under the earth. Now we have gone further than that. Now it's heaven, earth, under the earth, and on the sea, and what is in them. So these verses are clearly telling you and I that we are not alone on the earth. Are you listening to me? That just based on this scripture, you should believe that just because all you see is your brother and your sister, that doesn't mean that's all that is around. There's way more than your eye can see. And that's why we need to take reference from the scriptures to actually believe. See, a believer, someone who believes what the Bible says. So the Bible says there are people in heaven. The Bible says there are people on earth, we can see them. But the Bible says there are also beings under the earth. The Bible says there are beings in the sea. So what type of beings are on earth besides you and me? Praise God. One, angels. It is clear, very, very clear, that a group of beings that are here besides you and me are called angels. That's a group that is here as you two are here. Are you listening to me? Praise Jesus. First thing I want to mention to you, which I believe that you will start believing from today. Every human being that comes to this world is allocated an angel. From the moment you come out of your mother's womb, an angel is allocated to you. That angel is called your guardian angel. Are you listening? Acts chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You are out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." When this guy kept telling them, "Peter is at the door," because by this time, Peter has been imprisoned by Herod and he's supposed to die the next day. Are you listening to me? And an angel comes in the night and the chains falls. The doors open, the door to the gate to the city open. I mean, just miracle, 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 miracle. And then the angel says to him, "Go." And the Bible says, and Peter went to his own company. And his own company was in the house of Rhoda. But they were praying for his release. And he was already at the door. And as they were praying inside, "Lord, please release Peter." Peter is knocking at the door. He's already released. Can I tell you something? Some of you will be praying for something and the thing will be waiting at the door saying, "I'm already here. I'm already here. I'm already here. I'm already here." In the name of Jesus. Peter is at the door and they are praying for Peter. So Rhoda, a servant girl, hears a knock on the door and she goes and says, "Who is there?" And it's Peter. She's so excited that the prayer has been answered so quickly. She forgets to open the door for him. So he's still outside. She rushes back and tells them, "Peter is at the door." and they say you are out of your mind. Isn't that interesting? You are praying for something. God answers it. You don't believe it is true. It's a story for another day. Anyway, finally, they decide that no, if it is his voice there, then it must be his angel. Now, it is interesting. They don't say it must be an angel. They say it must be what? His angel. Please believe this. You have an angel. Every one of us, as you are moving around, God didn't leave you alone as an orphan. And many of you think you are really alone and you are an orphan. That's because you don't know the word much. At least you have an angel. You have an angel present with you. And when you die and you go to heaven, you will see that angel. You will see, he will introduce himself. I've been with you all your life. I can push it a bit further for you. I've read quite a number of things. Amen. A book I read that I recommend you read is called When God Walked the Earth. When God Walked the Earth. Is a representation of the life of Jesus when he was here on earth, as revealed to a prophet named Rick Joyner, who actually, God took him back to the actual reality, what that was happening while Jesus was here. You understand? Now, there is a little part in that book that I found very interesting. The birth of John. You see, when the angels were discussing among themselves in the book, apparently, long before John came out of the womb, God had already assigned a mighty angel to be waiting for him. A small baby. And it was quite a surprise because they couldn't understand. And I think, I can't remember very well, but there was a particular place where God sent another angel to replace the angel that was there, because the status had changed. You see, as you rise in ranks in God, the demands of your assignment require higher protection. And from time to time, your angels are changed. Just like a soldier that was here is replaced with another one that knows a bit more than the previous one. A bodyguard is replaced. That's how angels are your bodyguard. You see, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So the moment you are born again, other angels are now added. You see, when you are born, just born, you have a guardian angel. But when you are now born again, you receive ministering angels. They are responsible for your prayers being answered. They are responsible for you finding direction where you are going. They are responsible for a lot of things that are happening in your life. In the book of Daniel 6, 21 to 22, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. So when you look at the story of Daniel in the lion's den, all we know is that Daniel fell in the lion's den and the lions did not eat him. But Daniel reveals what happened. His God sent an angel in the den and the angel closed the mouth of all the lions so that they will not hurt him. Sounds familiar. That's exactly what Satan told Jesus in the book of Psalm 91, verse 11. For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. The King James rendition said that he will give charge. But actually, I wanted you to understand what it means. He will give his angels orders concerning you. To do what? To protect you in all your ways. So angels play a protective role When you wake up in the morning, they get on duty. Many of these guys that are driving recklessly these motorbikes, you know, their engines work very hard. Very, 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 very hard. Some of these guys. Many of these guys that work underground in the mines, their engines work hard. Hard. Continuous protection. Oh, you have no idea what could happen. If your eyes could open in the spirit to see the plans that are forged against you. And so when we see that, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The reason why the weapon doesn't prosper is because there are angels that have been given orders concerning you to take the bullet, to take the bullet for you. Hallelujah. You are not alone on earth. And the one of the beings that are here are angels, my friend. You've got a guardian angels and you've got ministering angels. There are all kinds of angels. I'm not teaching. I'm going to do a series on angels. I must do a teaching on angels as well. I mean, if I'm going to do a series on demons, it's just fair. I'm going to do another teaching on angels. And some of the angels, they protect you by blocking your way. That's one of the ways they protect you. You see, it started actually in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 verse 24. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. Cherubims are high angels. High grade angels. I will take you through the angels and their specifications. And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Why? Man had already sinned. If man had gone and ate the fruit of life, our condition was going to be doomed forever. So God had to bring protection to preserve the tree of life so that we don't eat it. But that we rather eat the tree of his son. His son came and became that lamb, that tree. He went on a tree. And then we receive his son and we have life. Are you with me? Angels are used. They protect you. If you remember the story of Balaam. Balaam is on a donkey. Balaam is going to curse people. God said he shouldn't curse. So an angel comes and stands in the road with a sword to block the way. And the donkey sees the angel, but Balaam cannot see the angel. So Balaam wants to continue, but the donkey stops. Many times, God sees danger on the way. And God uses an angel just comes and stands on the way. You are trying to go overseas, but overseas is not opening up. You are trying to go to that thing, but the thing is not opening up. You are trying to do this and trying to do that, but the things are not opening up. Sometimes it's not the devil blocking your way. Sometimes it's your angel blocking your way to protect you. Oh! To preserve you from a distraction that will surely happen. When you propose a sister, she says no. She herself doesn't know why she said no to you. Because after that, she regrets and says, what have I just done? But an angel was standing on the way. Because the angel knew, if you marry this sister, your ministry is finished. If you marry this brother, your ministry is finished. So the same brother that said yesterday, I love you, today he says, I don't love you anymore. What has happened? An angel brought a sword and cut that soul tie that was forming itself. Oh, angels of the Lord, begin to cut all the soul ties. Begin to cut all these funny soul ties. My God, my God, may angels be on the way to protect you against evil, to protect you against wrong steps you're about to take. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for angels that you have sent on the earth to help us. To help us. To help us. Please take your seats. Who else is on earth with us? Satan and fallen angels. From scripture in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 9, the Bible says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So we know angels are here. Look, I just took a few scriptures. The Bible is littered with stories of angels all over. I mean, they must be here. They have to be here. Many times, I feel I'm not alone in the room. Many times. And if you are really, really spiritual, sometimes you can sense another being is here or other beings are around. Many times I'll wake up in the night and go downstairs to drink water, and I will feel that as I was coming down, some people started standing up. I'm telling you. I will literally, especially after I read the book, When God Walks the Earth, I became a bit wild. I can feel sometimes these guys were kind of resting. A moment, they're all standing up. They're all standing up. And I say, relax. I just came down for water. Relax. I mean, it makes sense why God must fill this place with angels. Satan is down here, and his fallen angels are here too. Are you with me? Who else is down here apart from angels, apart from Satan, and apart from fallen angels? Demons. Brothers and sisters, demons are not Satan. Satan is not demons. And demons are not fallen angels either. And fallen angels are not demons. Let me help you. Satan can enter a man for a while, but not for long. Do you get it? He doesn't live in a man. Angels have, I don't think you've ever read your Bible, you find that an angel entered him. Are you listening to me? Angels don't enter people. Angels appear to people and do business, and then they disappear. But there's another kind here. That particular kind enters people. They are called demons. And they are the ones I want to deal with this month. First of all, you didn't even know that demons are not Satan. Satan is not demons. I'm sure a lot of you didn't know that. All right, so my first preaching, the title of my message this morning is The Origins of Demons. Where do demons come from? The word demon is from the Greek word diamon. Diamon. Not diamond. Diamon. D-A-I-M-O-N. Simply put, it means spiritual being or spirit. That is the basic definition. I mean, to some degree, you could even say that demons, I mean, the word over time took a derogative term to mean evil spirits. But really, bottom line is just spiritual beings. Are you listening to me? But because of some recurrences with these particular spirits and the nature being so much associated to that particular frame of wording, so it became quite clear that even though everything is, there are angels and demons are spiritual beings, but it became quite clear that they are not the same. And that some are more inclined to evil. And so the term demon started pointing towards them more. Until today, where it is known, when you say demon, it's an evil spirit. Praise God. Now, what are demons? Demons are disembodied beings. Disembodied spirits. Angels are not disembodied spirits. Angels have bodies. They have glorious bodies. Satan is not a disembodied body. Satan has his body. Do you get it? But demons, the main thing you must learn is not about demons. If you don't understand anything I'm going to teach this morning, the main thing you should know about demons is that demons are disembodied beings or spirits. I mean, they are spirits without a body. And they seek to inhabit and influence human beings against the will and the purposes of God. That's the main thing they seek to do. Disembodied beings that seek to inhabit human beings, right? To influence them against the will and the purposes of God. That's what demons are. Now, where do demons come from? How are we ending up here with demons? Where did they come from? I mean, we know how man came here. God spoke to himself. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And then God formed the body of man by using the dust. Amen? We know how the body of the woman came about. God took a rib from a man and made a woman. We know how Satan came about. He was called Lucifer. He was the guy, he was the bearing light. I mean, yes. He was the anointed cherub. I mean, he was in the presence of God. Then we know he rebelled. And his name changed to Satan. And when he was rebelling, he took one third of the angels, as the Bible says. That's how they came about. Are you listening to me? So we know these two beings, where they are coming from. But we don't know where demons are coming from. Because demons can enter a person and live in a person. Where are these beings coming from? Who created them? This is how the demons came about. Come with me to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. I'm giving you the origins of demons. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. This is where the problem is beginning. When you see the word sons of God, that sons of God that is not like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or you and me. The Hebrews rendering is Bnei Elohim. Bnei Elohim. These are the fallen angels. You understand? They were cast down with the devil and they were hovering in the air. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is really not much down here on earth. I mean, he just moves around from time to time. But most of the time, Satan is he's been trying to be where God is. He was cast from there. So he is in the heavenlies. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickednesses in high places, in the heavenlies, in high places. That's where they are. So these beings were cast from heaven and they were hovering there. Then down here, Isn't this beautiful, girls? They are bathing by the river. And they are just touching themselves. And these guys say, hey, there's something good is happening down there. And guess what? They came for them. Because angels have the ability to take a material body. And that's how Gabriel can appear before Mary. And she can see him. Because they can take on a body. Not for a very long time, but they can. So they took a body and came and proposed. I mean, imagine a mighty angel that fell from heaven coming to propose a small girl down here on earth. The Bible says that they took wives for themselves of all whom they choose. There was no, like, maybe argument. No, they just choose you. You just flow. You are under the influence. Do you get it? Now, verse 4 says, there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children of them. How did the giants come about? When the sons of God, these Bene Elohim, these guys, they took wives. And when, what do you do with a wife? You see? So they went into them. That's a nice way to say it. But I'm sure you know what that means. And when they kept going into them, these girls got pregnant. And they gave birth to children. I mean, understand that if a monkey goes into another monkey, they'll give birth to monkeys. No problem. When a monkey goes together with a baboon or with, let's say, a lion, you've got a problem, brother. There's a problem coming. These are angelic beings that are busy having sex with daughters of men. And the daughters of men fell pregnant. Now they fell pregnant. They have to give birth. When they give birth now, the thing they give birth to is not like the other children that are moving around. These are giants. Because imagine a person that fell from heaven, cast down by God, that comes into you, a human being here. I'm sure you understand that that child is not going to be a normal child. I cannot be a normal child. So these were giants. And by verse 11, the Bible now says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. You see, look at that combination of God, part of angels and men, human beings. And these are not just good angels, these are bad angels, very evil angels that have rebelled against God. So you can imagine what they are going to do down here to the image of God. So the slaughter began. And the human beings that were at that time, they cannot stand a chance. Have you heard about Goliath? Goliath is a descendant of these guys. His very presence alone scared everybody. Verse 7 here, Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. So the Lord said, I will wipe out from the face of the earth the human race I have created. And with them the animals and the birds and the creatures that are moving among the ground. Everybody will be wiped out. For I regret that I made them. You see, the flood didn't just come because man was sinning. Then you don't understand the Bible very well. The problem that God was having was that man started intertwining with angelic beings. And they started giving rise to another gender, another gene. And that is where the problem came. It's another, I don't want to go deep there. I mean, I can take you very, very deep into that thing, but we don't have time for that now. I just want you to understand, when God saw what was going on, he felt the whole thing is being spoiled. When the Bible says Noah found favor before God, it's not just what you think. No. The deeper meaning of Noah being the one God found was that Noah was clean. Of all the people that were on earth at that time, the only person God found that was not, his blood was not contaminated with that angelic, those fallen angels thing going on. The only person that was pure, the only person that kept the human race, are you listening to me? Was Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. For some amazing reasons, Noah was the only one who kept that. So he became God's only hope. When Noah comes out of the ark, how many people are there? Eight. Eight is what? The number of beginnings. So God began again with the eight people. The human race. The human race. Are you listening to me? Genesis 7 verse 23. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. So you and I are the descendants of Noah. We are coming from the three sons of Noah. The population of the earth as we see today is traceable to the three sons of Noah. Now, I want to ask you a question. God wiped out everybody, right? Good. But now we have a problem. Because these giants are not human beings. You get it? Giants are a combination of humans and spirits. And spirits don't die. That, understand me, these guys that came and had intercourse with these girls, the flood came, kill everybody, kill the girls, kill everybody. But these children that were born as a result of that, they could only be destroyed in terms of what? The body. The spirit could not die because they are angels. Part of them is angelic. So the flood destroyed their bodies, all of them. And they became what? Disembodied beings. Disembodied beings that are desperate for a body. Because they belong to a body before. They know what it is like to have a body. They've had one before. But their body was wiped out in the flood of Noah. So now they must have a body because they are also people. They want to express themselves. They had feelings like everybody else. They had desires and aspirations like everybody else. But all their desires and aspirations were wicked because they were from the gene of fallen beings. So they started roaming in the earth. without a body. Trapped here. They can't go to heaven. Their ancestors were cast from there. They can't go on the, under the earth. They are trapped on earth forever. So what are they going to do? They have to make a plan to survive. So they took note that Noah managed to make it. And they see their body is there. And they figure, because we were in a body, how about since we can't go back to our body, and then there are a few bodies moving around here, how about we enter them and we start expressing ourselves through those bodies? Giants became disembodied spirits. We know them today as unclean spirits, impure spirits, evil spirits, wicked spirits, devils, demons. All those are names we give to these beings that enter people and move through people. The reality of demons is that demons live in people. If you've listened to everything I've said, you'll understand angels don't need to live in anybody. They have a body. I mean, have you ever, you listening to me now, have you ever wanted to live inside another person's body before? Do you have such thoughts? That, you know, I feel like going to enter into that person's body. You know why you don't have such thoughts? Because you have a body. Your story will be totally different if you were to lose that body you have. As a matter of fact, when you lose that body, you become irrelevant on earth. You have to disappear. Which is also another story for another day. So many stories ahead of us, isn't it? Demons live in people. Listen to me carefully. Demons live in people. And Jesus, that is one of the number one thing Jesus made us clearly aware of. In the book of Matthew 12, 43 to 45, Jesus speaks and says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, so the evil spirit was in the person. It has left. It goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. It cannot find rest. The only rest is a body. Desert means there's nobody available. Then it says, the demon speaks to itself. Listen, the demon says, I will return to the person I came from. Other versions say, I will return to my house. Can you believe it? He said, I will return to my house. Now, the New Living Translation renders it, I will return to the person I came from. May you never be that person. Listen to me. Any demon that left has intention of coming back. Because listen to me. They don't die. They can't die. They are spirit beings. They are trapped. And they cannot survive living outside for too long. They must find a place. Accommodation is very, very needed in their realm. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty. You see, the Bible says its former home. Now I hope you realize the Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That was a clear indication that you as a person can house a spirit. It can be the Holy Spirit or it can be an unclean and Holy Spirit. But you are a house. God does not live in temples made by human hands. God created a human, a person with the capacity to house him, because he created it in his image. So inside you, there's a spirit that lives. The spirit can only live in the body. This is the only thing that can contain a spirit. This thing that you see here. And God designed it that way. So these spirits have noticed that there's space inside there for them too. So it finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Probably this guy got born again. All the demons ran away. But this person didn't do any further work with his spirit being. So the person, the house is empty. There's no word inside. There's no verse inside. There's no prayer inside. There's nothing inside. The house is swept. I mean, there's no sin. And it is in order. I mean, the chaos is over. Since Jesus came in, this person is going to church. But this person is only enjoying church. They are not actively working to fill themselves, to fill their spirit man, to build their spirit man. So the house is clean, the house is swept, and the house is in order, but the house is empty. And nature abhors emptiness. Whenever there is emptiness, if you look at nature very well, whenever you clean a place and you don't replace that place you have cleaned with something, nature will become quickly fill the place. And what is true in the natural is equally true in the supernatural. When you clean a house in the spirit and you don't replace what you remove with new things, let me tell you something. Whatever was there will come back. When you cut weed, you don't do something, the weed that was there will return surely. Then the spirit that left and came back goes and finds 7 other spirits more evil than itself. They are also looking for accommodation. They couldn't find accommodation anywhere. They are just stuck there, moving around. This guy comes and says, "Hey guys, you know what? I found a hotel. There's a hotel. I know a hotel somewhere. And there's enough room for all of us." I said, "All of us, there's a hotel." So he goes and takes these 7 guys with him. He makes it 8. New beginning is starting now in this person's life. Listen, then they all enter the person. So demons have a door of entry, which we're going to study somewhere down the series. What are the gates to you? What doors do they use? Because the verse says they enter. All of them entered. The person, and they started living there. And so that person is worse off than before. The King James said the later condition is worse than the former. And this is what happens when somebody backslides. Actually, for them to backslide, the demons, the guy went, do you get it? And found more wicked spirits. They came and entered. By the time they enter, you are hard. You cannot listen to pastor anymore. Nobody can talk to you. You have your own mind. You say, "I don't care. Whatever happened will happen." Your mind has changed. You are wilder than before. If you are smoking 2 cigarettes, you are not 10. If you are sleeping with 1 ball, you are now hitting 5. My God. Your condition has worsened. And your condition has worsened, and known to you, there are new tenants inside that you don't know anything about. People can just say, "Hey, no, this guy has changed." Have you seen that before? "Hey, no, this guy has changed." We are all seeing your condition is worsening outside. But what we are not aware of is that inside, there are tenants that don't pay rent. They are inside there. They are eating and enjoying. Don't miss any teaching this month on these guys. Ask your neighbor, how many guys are in you right now as pastor is preaching like this? How many are quietly inside there? Can I tell you something? Listen to me. They are in there. I promise you. Look, please, don't fool yourself. Now, there's something interesting about them, because accommodation is so scarce, even though there are 7 billion people on earth. Do you get it? It is so difficult to find accommodation for them that they don't mind squatching as sardines inside you. In fact, not inside you. They will never squatch inside you in the name of Jesus. They will be coming out of you as the message is coming. Mark 5:9. Look at this. Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Hey. He said, "My name is Legion." Why? There are many of us inside this man. I did my little homework. A legion in the Roman army, a legion is the equivalent of 6,000 people. When they say that this general has a legion, they are saying he has 6,000 men. So this guy was like, "We are many." Now think about it. One human being has 6,000 demons in him. No, he said, "We are many." He said, "I cannot lie to you. We are many. It's a lot of us here. It's a lot of us here. I don't want to lie to you. We are many here. It's a lot of us." By the time they were done, so the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us to that herd of pigs." See, we understand we must leave this man. But we can't be in the air. We must have a body. Okay, since we cannot have the human body, give us that pig body over there. So now you are learning that demons can enter animals too. They don't enjoy it, but if it comes to that, they enter animals. "If you cast us out, send us to the herds of pigs." So we can see clearly that demons can enter animals. Now, from time to time, they prefer human beings, because you must understand they were humans. You understand? So part of them was human. But when they don't find a way out, they enter dogs, they enter chickens, they enter cats. Anything that is available where they can be for a while until they can finally move from there to a real human being. So it's possible for them to come through a dog and then end up in the human being. Do you get it? Now, there's something I also need to tell you. When these fallen angels started fiddling with the daughters of men, after a while they got tired of these girls. And they turned to the animals. And they started having sex. Because their main objective was to pollute God's creation and mess it up. That's why the animals had to die too. Because animals were also polluted. Do you get it? And you've got this fantasy animals that you see sometimes in certain movies. You see a human being with part human, part animal. You will see a horse that has a part of a body, like the phoenix, all those type of animals that are part human, part animal. It's not just some funny stories. Actually, those things happen. Do you get it? So God had to clear the whole thing. Now, these animals too, that were the result of that connection, they are also moving around in the system. They too enter people. And you will find somebody being delivered of the spirit of a snake. When they cast the person start moving exactly like a snake. You ask yourself, what's going on? That's what is going on. And some of them, they start barking like dogs. Because indeed, that spirit is an actual spirit being called. It's a dog spirit that found entrance to a human being, not to a dog. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? Okay. Here are the demons coming out of a human being, and they are all entering pigs. And the condition of those pigs was fatal. The whole herd plunged down to the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. All the pigs, about 2,000 of them, they all died. When you see people drowning in debts, drowning in sorrow, drowning in alcohol, drowning in nyaope, drowning in this, what do you think is drowning them? What do you think is behind this drowning in depression, drowning in suicidal thoughts? What do you think is the drowning effect? Please, don't be confused. The demons can drown you. They have that drowning effect with them. Praise God. Let's quickly close for today. So I've shown you where demons come from. And I've shown you where demons stay. Okay? But there's another reality that is a little bit more frightening. Is that demons can live in churchgoers. People that go to church can carry demons in them too. These guys have found a way to stick around even when you are at church. I'm going to give you just two examples and we're going to pray. Matthew 1. I don't think it's the right verse, but let me give it to you. I'm sure the technical team will get the right scripture for you. 23 to 24. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. A man in their synagogue. Synagogue is a church. There was a man in that church. And that man had an unclean spirit. He was going to church every day, and the unclean spirit was in him. I just want to make you aware of that reality. In Luke 13, was that Mark? Mark 1, So Mark 1, 23, 24. Mark 1, 23, 24. There was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. That caught my attention. That this unclean spirit didn't even say, you go to church, I wait for you outside. It was inside the church with the man. Luke 13:10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Another synagogue on a day of the church. You know, the Sabbath was a Saturday, but the Sunday church service. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. I've thought about this woman a couple of times, many times. But it's interesting, she was in the church. Attending 18 years, this guy was renting for free and causing all kinds of problems to this woman. We learn here, when demons live in a person, the condition of that person changes negatively. That's a reality. But there's good news for us this morning. The good news is that we can find freedom from demons through salvation. Every Sunday, I will give you a way to find freedom from demons. Every Sunday, you will learn another way to find freedom from demons. Every single Sunday. This Sunday, I'm quickly teaching you how, because our series is not to talk about demons, how to be freed from them. Freedom from demons so that you can have the life God wanted you to have. Hallelujah. So, through salvation is your entry point to experiencing freedom from devils and evil spirits. Pray in the spirit for 5 seconds. Zibe garabazoka prekala velebranda na mashebre garabala garabala manda. Zabre garabazo prokura bagara bala 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 garabazebre garabagura bala garabala. Breje gede bazibre garabazo prokura bagara bala gede bashebre gede bazo prokura bala garabagada bagada ba. Breche breziga de bregada bazo prokande pregada bazibre canto pola garabagada bagada bagada. Jebrezika te precanto zobro cante preziga de breche bregade bazo goda berebe. E precante zebregado bozaga de brecada pa jebrezega de bagoda bagada ba. E prezega de becona mazebre cante capra zugo da bagede belegede be. Kazuma neva, Kazuma neva, Kazuma neva, Kazuma neva, Mashaba deva. Kazebe de bagada bazo procura bagede bralagada bagada bagada baraba. Kazebre garabazi precado brula garabagada bagere bagada bagada baraba. Kazepre carabazo broguera bagere brelagada bagada bagada bagada. Kazepre carabazo broguera bagere brelagada bagada bagada bagada. Kazepre carabazo broguera bagere brelagada bagada baraba. Kazepre carabazo broguera bragada bagada bragada bagada. Kazepre carabazi brigade bagora brelagada bagada baraba. Entemeneva, entemeneva, asamaneva, epelageda, casamadova, eshemeneva, kazubelage, eshemeneva. Oh yes. In Jesus' precious name. Freedom from demons through salvation. Brothers and sisters, the good news this morning is that your salvation is not only from sin. No. There's more to your salvation. Problem with the kingdom of God is that things go according to what you know and what you understand. That's the difference between this religion, if you can put it that way, and any other religion. In this one, you have to understand what you are doing for it to work. You rise based on the light that has come. Are you listening to me? Now, Colossians 1:13-14, the Bible says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, other version says, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. So you see, we all know that we have redemptions through the, you know, Jesus. We have the forgiveness of sin. But what people don't know is that they also have deliverance. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Meaning the dark power. Demons are part of darkness. It's part of the dark powers. And the Bible says God has delivered you from that place. And He didn't just deliver you. You know, He moved you to another place. His kingdom. What that tells you is that before salvation, listen to me. Before salvation, you are a full citizen of the kingdom of darkness. You have no future. You cannot be delivered. How can you be a South African and say, I want to be delivered from being a South African? For you to be delivered from being a South African, you need to take on another nationality. You must go and live somewhere for a number of years and incur the nationality of that area. Then that way you can lose that other nationality. And some people actually try to keep the two nationalities. And there are believers like that. They're in the kingdom of God and they have the citizen of the kingdom of God. And they want to also keep, you see, people with double nationality. I'm a South African American.
I'm a South African Brazilian. I'm a kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness citizen. They are in the kingdom of God, but they want to keep the previous nationality with them. Brothers and sisters, if God has delivered us from something, it means that thing was bad for us. We must let go of that, no matter how good it looks. You must let go of it. When you have taken on the nationality of Australia, forget about the bride. There's no bride in Australia. Just accept the reality that from now on, there will be no bride. Or create your own Australian bride. So that's why when you become a child of God, you cannot go against that party and those things. You can create your own Jesus party here and enjoy your own party here. Are you with me? Are you blessed? God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. When you are not born again, you are not delivered from that kingdom. That kingdom owns you practically. When you give your life to Jesus, God literally proposes to you a new nationality. God gives you a new passport, which means you now have a choice to choose whose government must rule you. That's what God has done for you and me. God has given you a new passport. It's called the kingdom of heaven. That passport empowers you to decide, I don't want to be a citizen of this kingdom anymore. I now have a new passport. I'm coming over here. And that choice will implicate a whole lot of other things. The laws of this area will stop applying to you over there. If you learn how to live in the laws that are here, the laws over there will stop working. Yet when you are here and you have not received that new passport through salvation, you cannot choose to... What are you going to do? You are there. So salvation opens the door for your freedom from demons. I'm not saying salvation and all the work of demons. It opens the door for those possibilities to become a reality. That if you engage what we're going to learn throughout the month, salvation is the entry door. But when you go through that door, you start entering other rooms. And the more you enter the rooms, the more the demons will be left behind. Are you listening to me? Another good news I want to help you with is that if you give your life to Jesus properly, you can never be possessed with demons anymore. A child of God, a person that truly submitted her life or his life to Jesus, cannot be demon possessed. They can be demon harassed. They can be demon oppressed. But they cannot be demon possessed. It's different. Why? Because of a little verse in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. He who is joined with the Lord is one spirit. So the Lord has entered your spirit with you. Where will the demon now find a place to also come? I mean, do you imagine Jesus in you, in your spirit, and a demon is also coming to look for accommodation? Do you imagine such a possibility that you have really allowed Jesus in your spirit? That's why the Bible doesn't say he who is in the church is a new creation. The Bible says whoever is in Christ is a new creation. You can be in the church and you remain demon possessed and demon harassed. You have to be joined with one spirit, with the Lord. A lot of people are in the church but they are not in Christ. They are not in Christ. May you be in Christ from today. In the name of Jesus. You see, don't fool yourself. When you are in Christ, you will know. you will know. One thing that will do is that, you see, you cannot be possessed. You will be harassed, maybe. You will be oppressed. You will be intimidated. But you will not be possessed. Possess means you are under the control of another being. That's what possession is. Somebody is possessing you. No, you cannot possess me. Jesus already possesses me. How can Jesus possess me and you are also coming for me? I am possessed with the Holy Ghost. How can you possess me again? You cannot possess me. There's good news for you, child of God. If you are born again, a demon cannot possess you. A demon can harass you, it's true, in your mind. And other, and I will teach you how to fight those areas. So the Bible says that pulling down imaginations in your mind. Those things are happening in your mind, not in your spirit. The spirit is kept under the control of the Holy Spirit. But I am in no way undermining the work demons can do in your mind. They can build your mind in such a way that you become like a possessed person. I'm telling you the truth. And that is the reality sometimes of people. They see a work demons have done in the mind. It is called strongholds. They build some complicated networks in your mind that when people see you, they say, no, 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 this person is possessed. No, you are not possessed. You are harassed. The Bible says you are vexed with evil spirits. Another good news. Are you enjoying this good news? As a believer, you have authority over, listen carefully, all demons. I didn't know, you see, when I read my Bible and I saw this thing, I was like, what? You have authority over all demons. That's powerful. Listen to this amazing scripture. Luke 9 verse 1. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He gave them power and authority over what? All. My previous title for this series was authority over all demons. But then the Lord said, no, no, no. Teach them about how they will be when the demons are out. Freedom. Authority over all demons. Well, Pastor, I mean, that was the 12. I mean, me, I'm not one of the 12. So now you are talking about people that they were the 12 of Jesus. Come with me to Ephesians. Come with me. Come with me to Ephesians. Come with me to Ephesians as we close. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 to 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This is what God did for Jesus. God raised Jesus far above all principalities, all powers. That is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. Now jump with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to verse 4 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything you heard about in Ephesians chapter 1, God is saying to you in Ephesians chapter 2 that he did it when he was doing it for Christ because of his great love for you. He made you to do the same. As Christ is ascending, you were ascending. That's why we know we are seated in the heavenly realms of Christ. Far above all principalities, all powers, all might and all dominion. By virtue of redemption, when Jesus was going to heaven, he went with you. Where Jesus is seated, you are seated there with him. The Bible says, and made us sit together. Made us sit together. So when Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, you are sitting there together. In the heavenly places, in Christ. You see, in Christ, in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Not in the church, in Christ. Laka, Sheminama, Sakuname. I'm ending with Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs, you see, because of everything I've said, these signs will accompany those who believe, the believers. In my name, look at the first job of a believer. Ask your neighbor, are you a believer? Ask your neighbor, do you believe? Please ask them properly. When you want to ask something, ask it properly. Ask them, do you believe? Do you believe? This is the number one sign of a believer. In my name, they will drive out what? Demons. That's the first sign. That's why the believer. The first sign that you are a believer is that you drive out demons. That's the first sign. When you believe in Jesus, the first sign of your belief in Jesus is that you know that there are other beings around you that have probably taken accommodation for free inside of you because you didn't know what you now know. They were occupying some areas in your life or around your yard. Now that you believe in Jesus, the first thing that you do is that you go back for your rooms. You go back for your yard. You go back for your area. You go back for your living room and you start claiming and sanitizing everything. That's the first thing a believer does. Now, I mean, this believer, that's the first thing they did. Today, believer, their first thing is something else. But a real believer, your first assignment, that's why I came with the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. This is a long overdue job in your life and in my life. These particular beings that have been there, having fun with your life, having fun with your body parts, enjoying everything, you are just being used left, right, and center. And Jesus said the first thing you were supposed to do from the moment you got to born again was to deal with them squarely. Squarely. That they are occupying your... They are inside and they're not supposed to be there. They're not supposed to be there. Please rise on your feet and start doing the work. Right? Wherever you are, just stand on your feet and start driving out. Start casting them. That is the first job of a believer. Please believe the word of God. God has given you authority over all demons. Mendela sele kaladon vala mandela. Telema soko levele magada bere bere ba. Please don't be afraid of them. You have authority over them. And this is your house. Nobody can command you in your house. Oh. Bind them. Cast them out. Tell them, them out. Them out. Them out. Them out. Come out now. By the light you have received this morning, begin to cast them out. Tell them it's time to go. It's time to go. Game over. Game over. Game over. Game over. Game over. I see them flying out. I see them flying out. Yaba yaba yaga zega daba goda ba zebre gede be gede be be. Ente mazela, ente mazela. Epene mane, epene mane. Asemene me, kapele mene. Ezega debe. Abaya. Use the name of Jesus and cast them out. He says, whatever you cast out, drive them out in my name. In my name. In my name, they will drive out demons. So you should better say in the name of Jesus. In my name. In my name. They will drive out demons. They will drive out demons. Magaya mera kala selema. Enteprakatete. Enteprakatete. Entemenema. 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 Bind them and drive them out. Drive them out. Drive them out. Are you sure you are praying? Are you sure you are driving them out? Cast them out. Cast them out in the name of Jesus. Remember, it is in Christ. In Christ. Mention them by name. Mention their name and cast them out. If you don't mention their name, they will not go. Mention their name and cast them out of your life. My God, my God, my God. Aleka sokala pelagele palabranda. Enterprise ziga de baye, zibaye, 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 zibaye. Mention their name and cast them out. These people don't pay rent. They've been there enjoying for free. Time over. Issue them the eviction letter. Issue them the eviction letter. They must leave now. They must leave now. Magezele magele malemelele. Ezebedebedebe. Ezebedebe. 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 In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Demons are flying everywhere. Believe it, I tell you. They are flying out as the light is coming to you. You are having power now over them. The Bible says in Luke 9 verse 1, He gave them authority and power over all demons. I don't care the name of that demon. You have authority over him. I don't care what it has done. You have authority over him. Please don't joke with your authority. You can cause to be arrested, bound, and cast out. Thank you, Father, for the light that has shone on ABC this morning. Thank you for the ripple effect that this light will produce in our lives. And as these demons are coming out, we're replacing the place with the word, with good works, with higher commitment, greater levels of prayer. Oh, when they come to check the house will be full to the brim. No place of entry. Thank you, Jesus. If you are watching this morning and you're not born again, I'm sure you heard what I said. Freedom from demons starts with salvation.
unless you are born again, you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. And it is only when you are in the kingdom of God that you have authority over this kingdom. This morning you are saying, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to have a new passport. I want to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. If that is you, at the count of three, please raise your right hand. Pastor will help you become a child of God and a new creation. Because after that prayer we're going to pray, you will be now in Christ. One, two, three. Please raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Please, you can take your hands down. If you are also watching, you are already born again, it's true. But you have given the devil a place. And demons have gained access. And they went and called 7 stronger devils. Now, making your condition worse than before. When you look at the things you are doing today, you remember not so long ago you couldn't even do such things. Please, don't let the demons continue working more. You can stop that cycle now. You can bring an end to this slide now. Don't be ashamed to recognize you are sliding back. Accept it and you will be free. If that is you, asking, Pastor, I need prayer. Things are not okay here. I'm sliding back. I'm doing things I didn't do before in my whole life. I need help. At the count of three, please don't be ashamed. Raise your right hand high. Pastor will pray for you. And God will help you. These demons will be dealt with squarely. One, two, three, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. You are saying, Pastor, I really need help. The way I'm going, if I'm not helped, things will not go well for me. That's right. That's right. You can take your hands down. Let's all pray. Please mean every word. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin. I am free from the power of demons. You serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.